Yo, Josh, this thing is frozen for you?
Yeah, a little. Now he's back.
Good now?
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yo, you look hella washed up, Josh.
I'm tired, man. Don't put that in the pod. I don't want to limit our fan base.
When you're hating on Chris Boucher, eh?
Except for him, he's cool.
This guy memes out all of OVO, but he doesn't want to lose his French fan base. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
You see what I'm doing right now? 3 to the dome. We're starting tomorrow, baby.
Yeah, I'll release this on Wednesday, man. Why not? Gotta get this out a little early. Bang in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
You know what? The day has come, and it's felt like a year since we've last watched basketball.
Dude, it's been 4 months, and by the 22nd, when the scrimmages come out, not even real games, scrimmages, 4 months and 10 days. Can you believe it?
That's crazy. No, I can't. Like, just not to have basketball. And I guess, like, what I mean is, like, watching competitive basketball. We haven't seen this since, what, June of 2019?
Wow, the disrespect to the regular season. Holy guy. Why do you even join this podcast from September to June?
Or it's September just the warm-up. It's just the warm-up for the playoff pod, you know? That's where most people watch basketball. That's where the stakes are higher. The players put in the extra 10%. Like, don't get me wrong, I still enjoy the regular season, but playoff basketball is something else.
And Raj is going to start calling in sick next year. He's going to give us, like, load management excuses when he doesn't want to talk to us.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, dude, watch. December rolls around, and, like, the very first day, he's going to send a load management message, and that's it. See you in April, bitch.
I can't do more than 3 pods in a row.
Gonna have to find a new host, man. Get this guy out of here.
Go back to backs.
For real? Come on, man. Oh, man. All right. What? All right, how do I say this correctly? We all know that you're excited for ball, but what have you been doing to fill in that basketball void over the past 3 or 4 months, Josh? How have you fulfilled that itch?
Honestly, there really was no itch after the first week or two. I started watching the Raptors playoff run from last year after the last canceled game between New Orleans and Sacramento. So I went on like a 1 to 2 week binge of watching the Raptors playoff run. Which I watched up to game 4 of the finals, I think. I didn't actually finish it. I probably should have. Maybe I'll do that later. But since that point, I've only watched like a few classic games. But overall, you know, at nighttime, I'm not really watching NBA games anymore. Until recently, anyway. I mean, I watched a couple classic games, 2 classic games over the course of the last month or so. But ultimately, that itch hasn't really come back until this week.
Wow. Raj, have you been watching anything?
Yeah, I'm with Josh in the sense that not for the first week, but for the first month, there was like a big void of not watching any basketball because we were all anticipating a good final stretch and then gearing up for the playoffs and not having sports at all. Like, not only basketball was a huge void in my life, but I filled it up with a documentary, The Last Dance, obviously. I watched a bit of the Raptors championship run, most games here and there. But then after that, like, I guess I just chose to out of sight, out of mind. So I haven't been exposed to much, but all this talk about all these players coming back and the bubble news, it's bringing all the feelings back.
Yeah, you guys are impressive, man. I've been watching, like, it's unhealthy what I've been watching. I've been deep diving into analysis. Josh, you introduced me to that Thinking Basketball page. I've been spamming their videos, pretty much like every morning for the past like month and a half.
I mean, on that note, I guess I have been watching some basketball videos, but in terms of games, I haven't really like dove into the games at all. But I have been watching those Thinking Basketball videos, SB Nation videos.
I watched the 1998 All-Star game. Okay.
Wow.
The Kobe Michael Jordan All-Star game. And then I watched the goddamn, I think it was like the 2000 All-Star game, where Marbury hit those like 3 threes in the last 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, I've seen that game a couple times in the past.
Yeah, and then I watched It was either, I think it was the 03 or 04 one, the one where KG got the MVP. It was one of those years. I think that was like the first All-Star game that I really tuned in as a kid and really paid attention. So that's like my favorite All-Star game of all time. Really weird.
Where the fourth quarter is actually competitive, because, you know, the athletes that have retired now, they always say, oh yeah, back in my day, All-Star games were competitive in the fourth quarters and sometimes throughout the games.
Oh, it was competitive. It was competitive. It was good. There was a play where Kobe stripped Jason Kidd right at half court and went in for a wide open dunk or something, whatever. Kobe hit some clutch free throws down the stretch. Jordan had that shot over Sean Marion, that baseline jumper.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was 03.
03, yeah. Mariah Carey came out in her Michael Jordan dress.
I remember that too.
Yeah, I should have led with that. That's my fault. That's my bad, man. But like you guys said, we're coming back. The NBA has tested 346 personnel in the bubble, and not one person has come with a positive test of coronavirus. Now, does this make you more optimistic about the NBA finishing not just the season, but the playoffs, or this weird playoff format that we know it of, Raj?
Does it make me feel more confident? I don't think it changes much. Obviously, it's good news that no one's tested positive, and it seems like they're following their protocol, and it seems like most players are following the rules. But I think overall, like, this is going to be a 2 or 3 month experiment to see how well all the players are managing all those rules, how the NBA keeps the bubble secure. But overall, it's a good start. I'm just excited to see some basketball, honestly, at this point. If as soon as they get a few games in, maybe the players might become a bit more lax. Maybe people will be going in and out of the bubble a little faster, and then we might get some COVID tests. But overall, I think it's a good start. I think it's given the green light for the season to start, when that was my biggest worry, that it wouldn't even get started. So far, so good.
Josh, man, you don't agree? You don't like this?
I had all the faith in the world that this is going to work, and now I've been proven right. I don't think any player is stupid enough to either let somebody into the bubble or leave the bubble themselves and come back, because I don't even think they can. Like, based on what we've heard about the security, for them not to be... Like, I mean, Rashawn Holmes went to the gate to get takeout, and he got 10 days quarantine because of it. So imagine somebody trying to leave the bubble, how fast that news would come out, and how fast that player would probably get cut or traded in the offseason.
Well, hold on. They are letting people leave for emergency, like family emergencies, right? Like Zion left and Montrezl Harrell left. So it's not like...
Yeah, that's a controlled setting though, right? Because the NBA knows what's happening. I'm talking about players leaving the bubble to go somewhere in Orlando then coming back, or trying to bring girls back in the bubble. Because everyone's talking about that as the potential cause of the bubble bursting, right? But yeah, if a player's just leaving for family purposes, they have to get tested every day still. And if they have a negative test, or 3 negative tests, I think it is, then they only have to quarantine for 4 days.
But what happens when Jordan Clarkson is out there and he's like, oh, damn, is that Princess Jasmine over there? And he goes to do work. Come on, man. These guys get to go on rides. What if he sees somebody he likes? What if...
They go on rides after the park is closed, right?
Is it after they close?
I think so. They're not going to go like when the people are there. There's no chance.
I don't know. I'm not the NBA. I don't know how this is set up.
No, I mean, based on what we know, there's no chance they're going to be anywhere near the public. So,
even though they have people staying in the same hotels, you don't think there's going to be anyone near the public?
Has that been confirmed yet?
No. No, I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah, like everything we know, it seems like nobody else is in the hotels, right?
No, they're so strict. It even seems like they're... Like, it seems like they're stricter on media than players. But if they're strict on media, why would they even let any public even come remotely close to it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the media's been giving different bracelets, I think, the past few days based on what Chris Haynes was saying, right? And they're not allowed in certain areas of the hotels now, which they're disappointed in, obviously. But, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. Like, the rumors, not even rumors, but the observations from other players are that these guys are able to walk around as free as ever. Like, you can finally see LeBron walking around without an entourage or without his security guys around him. I don't think LeBron's been able to do that since he was, like, 18. You know what I mean? Like, 16, 17 years ago, before he got into the league. And now you can spot, like, as another player, you can just spot this dude as, like, a regular dude. Although, you know, he probably has, like, a whole wing of a hotel to himself, but nonetheless, he still has his own space.
I'm surprised he doesn't have his own hotel.
He probably does. He has Tower of Terror all to himself.
No, he's got to watch out for Dwight Howard, man. Walking around without a mask on.
Yo, you don't trust Dwight? Come on, man.
Did you hear what he said recently?
What?
He basically said, like, why do I have to wear a mask around Disney when we're all quarantined together? Which, in theory, makes sense. But, you know, if one person has it, then a guy like Dwight Howard is going to be a super spreader because he's a moron.
I don't know, Josh. He sounds pretty right. Now that they've tested everyone there and no one has it, everyone should just go out without a mask.
Why do you bother? You know that Dwight's Dwight is definitely an anti-vaxxer, too. He can just tell.
Yeah, he's an anti-birth control guy, too.
yeah, no doubt about that.
All right, Raj, what kind of dark horse teams do you have in your mind right now? I mean, like, we already talked about the favorites. You got the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks. Like, we know the favorites. Give me someone who's going to come out of the East that no one's really talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to give you two from the East. I'm going to give you the Boston Celtics. I know that they're maybe not the typical dark horse, but I want to name a player that if he comes out playing some of his better basketball, I think the Celtics can make a real good run, and that's Gordon Hayward. I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have taken leaps this year. Hayward's that piece that makes them a little harder to defend. He's kind of their utility player. And if Hayward has a good start to the new season or the compressed season, I think Boston can make some serious noise and make it deep into the playoffs, potentially making it to the championship. So on the East, I have the Celtics. And specifically, as a player, I think Gordon Hayward's like that dark horse player that could lead his team.
That's not bad. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know if I would want him to lead my team, but he can definitely be a contributing factor.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, the reason why I can't choose Boston is just because of one player, and that's Brad Wanamaker. I can't see Boston advancing against the elite level teams when you have Brad Wanamaker as your backup point guard, and then you have Kemba Walker potentially having knee issues because, you know, if Kemba's out at that point, then you're really in a dark place in terms of depth.
Hold on. No. You know if Kemba's hurt, then Marcus Smart is literally taking all the point guard minutes.
Yeah, but then who plays behind him? Hayward, I guess?
Yeah, you just rotate between your wings. I mean, they're not very deep.
You're basically going D'Antoni ball at that point, playing like six guys.
Yeah, but at least they have Daniel Tyson and Enes Kanter.
Kanter's not going to play in the playoffs. Come on, let's be real.
Kanter's definitely going to play. Kanter always plays in the playoffs.
He'll play some games, but when teams go small, you'll see some games where he just has a bunch of DNP CDs.
But who's he going to... They're not going to go small. It's the East. Who's he going to match up with, realistically? Toronto, Ibaka, and Gasol. Philly, we already know how big they are. Milwaukee, we all know how big they are, too. What are you talking about?
If Milwaukee goes with Giannis at center, Kanter will not play 1 minute in that series. And plus, he's got to guard Brook Lopez, who plays out of the three-point line. Milwaukee will exploit him. You can't play him against Milwaukee. You crazy?
He doesn't guard anyone anyways.
Exactly. You can't play him against the elite teams. Why are we talking about Enes Kanter?
Because you're talking about playing Robert. You're going to play Robert Williams or Grant Williams ahead of him? Come on, man.
Grant Williams? I think so.
Relax. You're not going to play a bunch of rookies over Enes Kanter. Come on.
Brad Stevens loves him. Oh, Brad Williams has played a ton of minutes at center this season. He's played a majority of his minutes at center, I believe.
Great. Anyways, Raj, the whole point is that Boston is not very deep.
I like their roster, though. Like, if they didn't have Brad Wanamaker and they had somebody just below average, I could definitely see for sure.
So someone just below average, and then there's Wanamaker way below average.
Brad wanna be a player.
Okay, what if they had, Corey Joseph?
Yeah.
Is he just your...
He's like a level average? Above trash.
Wow, yo, the disrespect. You don't believe in Carson Edwards of the Boston Celtics?
Oh, God. Now you're going deep.
Yo, the Celtics are not very deep. That's the problem.
Yeah,
they're very young, right?
They are, but if Hayward comes out and plays... I'm not saying his best basketball, like Utah, right before he left. I'm saying... If he plays some of his best basketball that he's played in a Celtics uniform. I think they're just a tough team to match up with because Tatum's made some huge leaps and bounds this year. Jaylen Brown's a very versatile player. They have Marcus Smart, who's always in the running for a defensive player of the year or one of the best defensive guards. So they have a good balance to that team. And of course, maybe their center position isn't as deep and there is some issues potentially with Kemba Walker finally playing in meaningful playoff games, and how he handles that. But again, I think Boston is a team that could make it all the way and it all hinges depending on Hayward.
Yeah. And honestly, they have one of the best top sixes, if not maybe the best, which matters in the playoffs. Obviously it's just, I don't know, they got to figure out what they're going to do behind Kemba, or if Kemba's not right, they really have to figure out something. Just play Marcus Smart 43 minutes a game, maybe. Maybe that's the solution.
It wouldn't surprise me. He's got the motor.
Yeah. Problem is, he had COVID, so, you know, hopefully his lungs are okay.
True. Josh, who's your underdog in the East?
I mean, you already know who my underdog is. It's the Philadelphia 76ers. The team that is going to win the championship this year, my 76ers. I mean, you got the best YouTube vlog out there with Matisse Thybulle coming off the bench, going to give the Sixers big minutes in the playoffs. They have a new starting five with Shake Milton, who is playing exceptional basketball, shooting 45% from the three-point line in his starts. I mean, what's not to like? I can't hear you.
No, it's because we're silent because we are so shocked that that's your dark horse. And is Shake Milton your underdog player?
I mean, he's better than Brad Wanamaker, that's for sure.
I mean, this is very true. I don't doubt you there. But how hype would it be if Thybulle actually brought the camera into the locker room? He's like, guys, like, yo, pop that champagne again. I gotta get a real close-up look at this.
That would be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. The championship vlog is going to be hype.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel, especially if they struggle a little, I think Coach Brett Brown's going to be like, shut that shit down. It's a distraction.
Tobias Harris, you're having too much fun on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, which do you guys prefer to watch? The Raptors open gym or Matisse Thybulle's vlog?
Matisse Thybulle, easy.
Yeah, it's shorter. I mean, the open gym episodes are often like an hour long, which, you know, I'm not really trying to watch. I've had that Kyle Lowry tribute video. It's like 50 minutes long. Open for the last 4 months. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yo, it's 50 minutes?
Yeah, it's like I think it's about like a recording of his entire career and what he's gone through and stuff like that.
Yo, relax, Toronto.
And Open Gym has great editing. Like, their production is quality, top-notch stuff. It's just, you know, I'll watch it eventually.
God damn, man, that's wild. 50 minutes of Kyle Lowry footage. Could you believe it?
Real ones will watch that.
Yeah, it ain't you.
You haven't watched it yet, eh?
Hey, if they go back-to-back, I'm watching that the first day after the championship.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't know, man. Philly's not bad. The more you talk about it, the more I'm being convinced just because of their size, but...
They have a deep roster, and they're super physical. They're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the exact same team as last year, obviously, but in terms of length on the perimeter and how physical they play, they're going to be tough to play against in the playoffs. And they don't have to deal with the fans anymore booing them.
Using Simmons at the four is very interesting. I like it. It's like, theoretically, it should work out perfectly with him in that Draymond Green role as the like point guard in transition and then the role man in everything else. It's kind of perfect as long as he and Embiid can get along.
Yeah, but again, I'm skeptical. Not because I think Ben Simmons can't play that position effectively. It's exactly what you said with Embiid and Simmons. Both like playing closer to the rim. And I think Simmons hasn't shown the willingness to take those shots. We talked about this extensively on the last pod. And we really haven't seen how effective Simmons is without the ball. And I think that's one of his weak points is without the ball, he's just not an effective player.
I don't know if I agree with that. He's a very good offensive rebounder and also a very good cutter, too. And I think in the one season where they had Bellinelli, Ilyasova, and J.J. Redick, you have three shooters around Embiid and Simmons, even though the guys they have are not obviously as good as those three guys in terms of shooting. I mean, they're good. You have Tobias Harris. You got Richardson. And you got Shake Milton. And you got Horford off the bench, too. These guys are good shooters.
They are nowhere even close to the same realm of J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah.
No, for sure. But I think that in terms of the spacing, like, it's not quite the same respect level, but it's close. So I think if you have three shooters around those two guys, I think it can work. And those guys have a lot to prove, obviously. And the other thing is, because they don't have to travel, I don't think like the inflammation and the injury risk is going to be as high with Embiid. So maybe he plays more minutes now instead of playing 30 minutes a game. You'll like, be able to play like 34, 35. I mean, Brett Brown wants to play 38, which doesn't seem likely. You know, being able to not have to travel, I think that'll help them a lot.
One of the advantages Embiid will have is literally having the consistent food like 2 months prior, so he doesn't have to dookie mid-game anymore.
Yeah, but also, I also think Embiid could suffer from the fact that he could be easily distracted by other players being in the bubble. Like, if he has a bad game and him just shooting the shit with players from another team, like, the night before a night, or just, like, hanging out with other players, I could see that being an issue.
Damn, man, no trust. These guys are warriors, Raj. They battle on the field, or hardwood.
Court.
No love for your local Toronto Raptors, eh?
I don't think they're an underdog. They're the reigning NBA champions. Ooh. Right? So
exactly. You said underdog. They are not an underdog.
Wow, okay. Well, I haven't heard that literally from anyone. Cause these Raptors are pretty slept on, guys. A team where the head coach literally has his own brand and wears a Box and One shirt. Or hat, whatever it was. A team that has a new director of social inclusion, John Wiggins. You guys saying that they're...
Is that Andrew Wiggins' dad?
No, that's not. You're like, oh, okay. I'm out on this team now. Nah, man. The Raptors seem interesting. I'm a little bit more convinced as the days goes on with their continuity. They look a lot more focused than most of the other teams around.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Did you see the setup that they have in the hotel room?
No.
Or the floor? They have the whole floor. There's Raptors logos everywhere. They put up the Toronto skyline. It looks pretty legit, as if it's all Raptors geared out. They have their own post office area. It's pretty nice, man.
The reason to be optimistic about the Raptors is they had the second rated defense despite having all these injuries. And I think they had the 17th or 15th ranked offense. So in terms of continuity, being able to bring back the entire roster for once. And again, with them not having to travel is a big thing. Same with Philadelphia, because they had so many injuries the entire season. So just having all these guys back and Gasol being in great shape as well, which sort of worries me against Philadelphia. If he's that skinny, but that's a whole different topic. but overall, just having a full roster, and Nick Surgeon is going to have a lot of decisions to make as to who is going to play come playoff time.
He got promoted from Nick Doctor to Nick Surgeon.
Yo, he was Nick Doctor after the championship, but now after seeing what he's done with the roster this season, he's definitely Nick Surgeon.
All right, let's move out west. Raj, who do you have as your dark horse from the Western Conference?
All right, I'm actually going to give a real dark horse, not like Josh's 76ers play. I'm going to say the Portland Trail Blazers are going to be a dark horse. And what? And I think this team goes as far as, obviously, Yusuf Nurkic is coming back from a big injury, so how effective he'll be is a question mark. But I think Damian Lillard's going to come out firing. I just think it's going to come down to how well CJ McCollum plays. And if he can hold up that 2-way role that he had last year, then I think they could actually push the Lakers. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Lakers, but I think that would be a very good competition. I think they would be a team that no one would want to play. And I think that series would be very interesting, specifically because the Lakers are now integrating a few new pieces. They're probably thinnest at the guard position, and that's where the Portland Trailblazers are the deepest, and it'll be interesting to see how well Portland comes, but I think almost for certain the Portland Trailblazers are going to be in that one game playoff.
How did you not talk about Skinny Melo? The disrespect.
That's the reason why they're not going to do anything is the fact that they told him that if he lost some weight he could play small forward for them, and that's going to be a disaster. So I don't know. I mean, I like the roster if Nurkic is healthy and Collins is healthy too. And I think they could give the Lakers some problems. I think it'll be close games for sure. But the fact that they have no small forward and they plan to play Melo there potentially, I don't like that. It's too bad Rodney Hood got injured because he was great last postseason. And he would have been a really good piece for them in the playoffs.
Who did they trade Kent Bazemore for?
It was Ariza, but now I think it was Ariza, but Ariza's right. Not playing because of different issues off the court.
Yeah. Okay, true. I totally forgot that's how they got Ariza. Yeah, that's, man, Carmelo brings his best game against LeBron. He always has.
Yeah, in 2005, maybe.
Maybe like 2000.
For Ariza? I would give them a puncher's chance for sure.
I think they already have a puncher's chance if they make it. I think, I'm not saying they will. I still think the Lakers have an 80%, 70 to 80% chance of winning that series. But 20 to 25% within Portland. If Nurkic is able to play 25 minutes a game, 20 to 25, and that's asking a lot, and Collins is able to put up 20 to 25, I think they have a chance to push the Lakers, first to make the playoffs and then push the Lakers to at least 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, but the problem is when those two guys are off the court, you have Carmelo Anthony and Hassan Whiteside. So that's the part that worries me. If they were actually healthy going into the bubble, if those guys actually played before COVID happened, I might actually pick them against the Lakers based on how depleted the Lakers roster is. But now, I don't know. They would have to look really, really good in the 8 games that they play, or 7 games, I guess it's for them. But, if they were able to get back into shape and play 25 to 30 minutes a game, then maybe. But I don't know. It's too tough right now. Coming back from those types of injuries, it'd be too tough.
Yeah, but I still think they are a team to the dark horse in the West. The team that has the biggest change from before COVID to after COVID. Again, with Nurkic and Collins, they're almost a different team.
I'm guessing the Denver Nuggets don't count as a dark horse, right?
Oh, yes, they do, my friend. Oh, yes, they do.
I don't know. I mean, you're the third seed for most of the year. Are you really a dark horse? I know nobody's really talking about them, but they're still really good. I think dark horse is more so the 6 to 8 range.
No, you know why they're a dark horse? Because their best player is Serbian and their second best player is Canadian. That's why they're a dark horse. Their best players are not named Kawhi or LeBron or Giannis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm still not going to pick them, though. I'm picking Dallas.
What a psych out. Yeah. I was so ready to hype it up. My goodness.
He got you on the pump fake.
Though, honestly, I do like Denver. It's just, I don't see them as a dark horse. I see them as a potential conference finals team, depending on how the seeding goes. But, Dallas, I think as long as they can avoid the Clippers, I think they can beat anybody else in the conference besides maybe the Lakers as well. But they probably won't play the Lakers until round 2 or 3 anyway. So between the teams that are, 3 to 8, I think that Dallas is not far and away better than most of them, but I think they're better than a lot of those teams. And I think they'd give Denver a run, if not beat them as well. So with the Clippers, though, with them being able to switch onto Luka, having so many different guys that can give him problems, I don't think Luka's quite at the level he needs to be come playoff time to be able to score 30 to 40 points in one-on-one matchups against guys Paul George, Kawhi, even guys like Montrezl Harrell and, Jamichael Green on switches. They're just going to wear him down. And he doesn't like to work that way anyway. He's not an isolation player. He prefers to play in the pick and roll. And if you're able to sort of cut down his time in the pick and roll and force him to be a late clock isolation guy, I don't think he's good, especially when he's not getting the same calls. He's going to learn this year. He's not getting the same calls in the playoffs as he does in the regular season, much like, guys like DeRozan and Lou Williams learned in their first few years too.
What happens if Dallas matches up against Houston? Yeah. You would end up having Covington covering him, right? For the most part?
Yeah, and then they would probably just switch everything. Same idea, but Houston's defensive players are not as good as the Clippers, obviously, and their schemes are not as good as the Clippers either. So if you put P.J. Tucker on him and switches a lot of the time, then you're going to have Porzingis going against, Russell Westbrook and Covington, which isn't that big of a matchup mismatch, but I don't know. I think that Dallas has a lot of stuff in their offense. Like, Carlisle's a really smart coach, and I think he'd be able to work around a lot of Houston's schemes, whereas with the Clippers, I think that would be a sweep.
Don't you know that James Harden is one of the best post defenders of guards in the league?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because like, if they post up Porzingis against a guy like James Harden, even Westbrook, that's sort of a win for Houston. But I think that Dallas is smart enough to work around those types of schemes to not get caught up in that kind of game.
Yeah, Porzingis is not going to post up anybody on that team. Is Powell's not playing, right? They're just going to run Kleba at the five?
Yeah. Kleba's better than him anyway. I mean, Powell fits in well, but Kleba's a really good overall player.
Well, they're different type of players, right? Powell would be perfect for that pick and roll game because against Houston especially, they're so small. He would just elevate over everybody.
True, but who does he guard though? Like, Kleba's a much better defensive player in terms of switching on to smaller players.
You don't think Powell can cover P.J. Tucker? Come on, man.
He's not going to be guarding P.J. Tucker, right? He's going to be guarding one of the guards a lot of the time in the pick and roll because they're just going to put him in pick and roll on the entire game.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess so, but they don't switch that much. They could avoid the switches.
No, but just the fact that he's going to have to defend whoever has the ball like a majority of the time because that's all they're going to do is they're going to try to pick on one specific guy. And I think that Kleba's better at, you know, switching on to guys, first of all, but also closing out to the three-point line, too.
Does anyone on Dallas have real playoff experience other than J.J. Barea?
DeLon Wright at getting destroyed by LeBron.
True. I think that's it, though, right? Just those two?
Out of their rotation players, like Tim Hardaway.
No.
Porzingis.
Nope.
Bench guys. I mean, Jalen Brunson's not playing either, and he didn't have any playoff experience. Loss for Dallas not having him.
Why isn't he playing?
Injured.
I think he hurt his shoulder before the break, so he's not in the bubble.
Oh, damn. That is a big loss. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I think Dallas just doesn't have enough talent. Like, I know we talk about playoffs not having to rely on your 8-9 guys, but I think Dallas, if you just compare their top 6 or 7 against the playoff teams, they have some very good top-end talent with Luka and Kristaps, but I think their 3 to 6 guys aren't as talented. And maybe they are talented, but they're not as versatile. And you need those players to be able to switch, and especially against teams like Houston or the Clippers and even the Lakers.
Oh, I know. Seth Curry. There you go. He's got an experience.
Oh, Seth. Yeah, Seth is nice.
And he's going to have a big role, too. Like, he's going to play 30 minutes a game because Jalen Brunson's out, too.
Yeah, he's going to take all of Brunson's minutes.
Yep. And he's already playing 25-plus minutes a game, most games anyway. And he shot over 40% from three this year. Like, he had a really good season.
43%?
He was about 40.
Oh, 40. Okay. I was like, 43. God damn. 40's not bad. Man, how did you tease me with the Denver Nuggets and not actually talk about skinny Jokic? Raj, man, I know you're loving this guy.
Oh yeah, like I'm seeing those clips on Instagram, and you can just see the way he's carrying the ball. It's like he obviously had a lot of guard skills with his passing and his vision and decision making, but now he just has a little more lateral quickness, and if he's able to show and maintain his skill set from before, I think he's going to be one of the most improved or changed players from pre-COVID to now. And who knows? Again, with Denver, their problem comes down to winning close games. And I think a big thing is they're a team that's probably going to suffer from not playing at home because their home court advantage was one of the best in the league. And it was a tough place to play at the Pepsi Center. Now, like, just having to play all these games at a neutral site, I think they're going to lose that home court advantage, and they're going to be in a lot of close games. And historically, I think they've not managed those games well, and I worry for them in that respect. But the talent is there.
Yeah, for me, I think Denver has the best overall roster in terms of talent because you just have so many guys at the end of the bench that can play. And, you know, if Malone is able to implement these guys at the right times, I think that they can make a really deep run. But I think it all depends on the first couple games. If you're able to bring these guys back in the bubble and these guys actually play together and develop a rhythm and see who's actually in the rotation once this team is healthy. Because, you know, much like the Raptors, they've had some injuries over the course of the year and certain guys haven't played together. You know, in terms of big minutes, like I think the lineup with Jeremy Grant and Paul Millsap at the four and the five when Jokic is sitting, I think that's going to be a very key lineup, especially in the playoffs, because there's going to be a lot of situations where Plumlee can't play. And those guys didn't really play together that much. And they're talking about playing Jeremy Grant at three sometimes too. So they really got some stuff to figure out before the playoffs.
Yeah, Grant is going to have to be the primary defender when you have either the Clippers or the Lakers, right? Like any dominant wing player. Because let's face it, Gary Harris not fast enough or big enough to defend those bigger wing players. Michael Porter Jr., although very talented, but still skinny as hell and inexperienced. And Torrey Craig can't buy a bucket on offense. Major liability out there.
So. See, I disagree with you there. I think Torrey Craig is a good player, and I think he was really good in the playoffs last year.
He was amazing last year for his role, but this whole year he's just been like, he looks off this year. You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's never in rhythm with the rest of the team.
True, but he's like the prototypical player you want to put in a guy like Paul George or Kawhi. So I think he's going to get some minutes in the playoffs.
Can you really have that type of player in the playoffs, though, where they're essentially like a, I don't want to say a non-contributor like Tony Allen, like, but he's going to get the Tony Allen treatment.
I mean, if you do it for a few minutes at a time, as long as a guy like Jokic is on the floor, if he's not killing them on offense where, you know, he's still taking the shots and being a respectable shooter at like, you know, low 30s, then I still think he's playable. But if he shoots like he did in the last postseason, Denver can make the finals.
Let's get it. Thanks, Josh. That's a motivation I needed.
I mean, they have a team of like the most wing defenders probably in the playoffs, right? If you look at the accumulation of their talent, it's up there. I mean, you can put Paul Millsap on a lot of guys too. Like, he's a guy that, you know, guarded LeBron in the past. He's not as quick now, obviously, but
I don't really count Paul Millsap as a strong wing defender anymore, man. Dude's old. He's old and slow.
But I think he can still switch on to certain players, though. He's reliable.
Yeah, let him switch on to like PJ Tucker, you know? I'm not putting him on LeBron. Come on, man. He's not going to like take Paul George or Kawhi outside.
And Barton too. Like Barton, even though he's skinny, he's strong and he's a decent defender as well.
He gambles a lot on D. He does that typical lazy defender move where he tries to poke the ball out from behind, man. That doesn't work in the playoffs, you know that.
Yeah. I just hope that we see some Michael Porter Jr. come playoff time though.
I just hope we see him in the bubble.
That too.
Let's get him and Monte Morris there. Jesus. Come on, guys. Your first game is on Wednesday. Come on. All right. Let's move on. What player are you most excited to see from either conference? Raj, why don't you start?
All right. Well, I'm gonna see if Bam Adebayo can keep up his good play.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon.
I think we haven't talked a lot about Miami, and the more I think about it, it's like they could be a dark horse because everyone's still saying this year was a great success for their team. They've been fighting for the 3-4 spot. They honestly are playing some good basketball. They're young. They'll have the legs. I don't think there's any worry about these players coming back rusty because a lot of them have played a lot of basketball recently. And I just feel like they're a team that's so young that they don't have to worry about those knees cracking and getting stretched out and not pulling a muscle. But yeah, I think Bam Adebayo, he's probably going to be the most improved player this year. I think if he comes out strong and he plays a high level of basketball that we know he can, I think Miami could be that dark horse team, but I still think it's going to be Boston. But I'm excited to see him. We haven't heard much about him, but if he keeps elevating his game, he could be one of the best bigs.
He's another player that's not in the bubble yet, too. So it's going to be interesting to see when he actually arrives to join the team.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from him or his camp, I guess.
There's a lot of guys who we don't even know if they're there or not. I mean, you can go to like the Clippers too. Like, nobody's heard about Zubac. He's not even in the country, I don't think.
Seriously?
Yeah, like there's been no reports as to, when he's going to arrive in the bubble. So nobody really knows where he is.
Damn. What day do the playoffs start? Do you guys know?
Yeah, I think it's like August 15th or 16th.
So mid-August. That means these guys gotta get there at the beginning of August to quarantine for their 14 days, right? Especially if they're international.
I'm not sure how it would work for like guys like Luka and Porzingis. I would assume if they had the three or four negative tests beforehand, if they were part of that protocol, then you would just have to quarantine for I think 4 to 7 days. I'm not
Oh,
sure.
okay. I
It's
guess
all
that's
different
true.
with like different players.
I think Jokic didn't have to quarantine. Well, we don't really know how much these guys are actually quarantining or when they arrive, so kind of different for us.
Yeah, there's not a lot of reporting because there's not a lot of reporters in the bubble and they don't get the maxes anyway, so.
Yeah, it's true. I do like Bam though. Bam is like one of the best one-on-one defenders against Giannis in the league. Like he's got that mobility, he's got that speed. He's got great hands for a big man and he's just like strong. You know what I mean? Like he's one of those guys that can actually body with Giannis and not get bullied. It's a good pick. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, I think he had the best defensive stats against Giannis out of anybody too, especially in the last game. I think Giannis only went like 4 for 13 or 14 against him in that game.
Yeah, he had like 13 points or something.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
I mean, he defends him better than pretty much everyone besides Kawhi plus Raptors defense, so.
Plus Raptors defense.
I'll be your new best friend.
Shush, Norman!
All right, Josh, who's your one player that you want to see?
I'm not going to take Tank Zion because he's the easy pick. So for me, it's between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So I'm going to take Ben Simmons.
Okay, thank you
This
for choosing Ben Simmons because I really do not want to talk about Embiid. But really, you're going to really ride this Philly train that
I'm
hard?
riding the Philly train, man. Philly
Jesus.
cheesesteaks.
Come
Man, to get this guy a
on.
76ers jersey. Take that championship Raptors shirt off. I know you're wearing it.
Actually, I am. Let me give you a little look here.
There's actually an Allen Iverson jersey on under it. Don't trust him.
Yeah.
I still have that. But yeah, I mean, with Ben Simmons, just seeing him play a different position to see him in the Draymond Green type role, see if it actually works with him and Embiid plus three guys that can shoot the ball. And see what Brett Brown does with that roster and trying to limit the amount of minutes that Horford, Embiid, and Simmons play together. I think that they have a pretty good roster overall, and now with Milton in the mix, and they can do a lot of things. And I think that Ben Simmons, obviously, like I said before, has a lot to prove, and maybe he'll start shooting threes. Who knows?
I mean, his workout videos say that he's shooting threes. Does that count?
I mean, in a no pressure environment, he should be jacking up like at least five threes a game come scrimmages and then the regular season bubble games.
He's gonna be really interesting. I like him in that Draymond role. I'm convinced, even though he hasn't done it yet, for what we've seen, I'm convinced that he'll be good in it.
And he's a much better passer than Draymond Green, too. Like, he's a super creative player. He's one of the best passers in the NBA. So you
Oh,
get him
shit,
into
yeah.
space, then he can do a lot of damage.
Even if he can get like a mid-range shot like David Lee back in the day, that would be perfect. Because David Lee is the one who started like hitting
14
that.
foot floater? Like, Ben Simmons actually has that shot in his game. He mostly shoots a hook shot usually, but he has a little floater in his game too, so if teams are not coming up, in 4-on-3 scenarios to bring the big man up to pressure his shot, and they force him in that little floater shot, I think he's good enough to do that.
Yeah. I like it. Guys, the guy I want to see is Raj, your favorite 17 or 18 year veteran LeBron James. We just have to see what this man can prove because he can't get his final 8 games for his MVP candidacy.
Even though they don't count anymore.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The last games don't count, so LeBron has nothing to play for in the regular season
That's your
anymore.
pick?
No, hell no. Oh man, but come on. I actually want to see someone who we never talk about. Like I think we've talked about this guy once in the past like couple of months.
Tyler
Shai
Hero?
Gilgeous. What?
I thought you were gonna say Tyler Hero.
Get out of here.
Oh my God.
Nah, man, Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Last year we saw him show out in the playoffs against the Warriors already with fellow rookie Landry Shamet, right? Well, they didn't take the Warriors, but they were pretty essential in taking the Warriors to 6 games. And this team with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder and Gallinari, they definitely showed out a lot more than anyone was expecting OKC to this year. You know what I mean? And now he's, I don't want to say that he's proven in the playoffs, but he's done a damn good job last year. And I want to see, like, where his development has gone to this year, because his regular season was significantly better, you know, with Chris Paul behind him. Sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah,
he's got a game, like, built for the playoffs, too. So, and he can score at all three levels. He can take guys off the dribble. He can score one-on-one. And he can score at the basket, too. And he's, you know, in terms of his size, he's, what, 6'4", 6'5", I think, right?
He's, like, 6'5", 6... Yeah, I think he's, like, 6'5". Dude, he's tall.
Yeah, so, I mean, he can probably guard small forwards in certain situations as long as they're not named Kawhi and Paul George and LeBron. So, he's just multidimensional. Like, he's just really good.
Yeah, he can guard Joe Ingles.
Oh, yeah. Paul George can't, though.
That was my other pick. I was going to say playoff P just to see how he would be as second fiddle for an actual good player, not, you know, Russell Westbrook.
I think with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity to showcase his skills. I think OKC's slowly building for the future. And I look at OKC and Miami and their respective conferences like as the real dark horses, like the teams that no one is talking about, both young teams exceeding expectations. And like, I honestly don't know who's going to make it have a better regular season or playoffs, like the Heat in the East or the Thunder in the West.
Yeah, it's a tough call. Depends on the matchup, I guess. But exactly. Ultimately, I probably bet on the Heat just because of the conference.
And the veteran pedigree. Jimmy Butler is not a choker in the playoffs, Josh. Unlike...
He did in Game 7.
No, he didn't. He hit the go-ahead bucket.
He was still bad in that game.
Doesn't matter. He still hit the go-ahead bucket. It's not his fault. He got shown up by Kawhi.
Yeah. Well, that was a game to really prove yourself, and he didn't do it.
Sorry, he got shown up by the best player in the league. His bad. His bad for not literally throwing the ball away from his own corner, Chris Paul.
Hey, the fact that he had to dribble a basketball at 4 in the morning and tattle on himself and then talk to the media about it. Like, what is wrong with that guy?
That's genius branding, Josh. That's what they call branding.
All right, guys, like, it wasn't a surprise to me at all to hear about him working out with Mark Wahlberg. They probably both wake up at like 4 a.m. and do like 17 workouts and eat eggs together.
Okay, eat eggs. All right, guys, this is going to be a real test of how good we are at predicting these weird-ass scrimmages. So, I'm releasing this on Wednesday morning, which means that at 3 p.m., the Orlando Magic and the LA Clippers will be playing the first scrimmage in Orlando. Give me your prediction of the final score of this game. Raj, you start.
I think Orlando is going to win this game 92-85.
Damn. Jeez, you think the layoff is going to have that much of an effect, eh?
Yeah, I think they're just going to get out different lineups. They don't want to work the players too hard. It's a lower scoring game.
Also, Orlando is technically the home team here. I'm just saying, exactly. They have the best advantage out of this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to say Orlando wins, and Michael Carter-Williams is the MVP at the game.
He gets the game ball.
We need
a
score.
Give me a score, man. Give me a score.
Josh
Radamus, let's go.
104-97.
Wow, okay. I'm going to go with... let's go 99-112 for the Clippers. I think they just lay it on them. Lou Williams out here in cornrows, man. I can't go against that. Let's do the next games quickly. Washington Wizards against Denver Nuggets. Raj.
Yeah, I think Denver is probably going to win this game, even though they have like no one playing. I think they just
so
have a lot.
Washington.
Yeah, but I think they have more to prove, and Washington's here mainly for the free meals and some recognition. But yeah, I think they win 101-83.
83? Ooh.
Yeah.
No love for Ish Smith.
Yo, this is not the 90s anymore, Raj. Washington plays no defense. It's going to be like 120-110.
120. 110. You think Washington can score 110 points?
Oh, yeah, and they play at a super high pace. Even though they have no players left, they're still going to score points.
Yo, is Smith going to have to go for 60?
Yeah, that's what it takes.
Nah, man, it'll be 118 Denver for 97.
Washington's going to win.
Yeah, okay. Pelicans
Denver
at Nets.
Denver has 8 players.
Yo, Pelicans at Nets. Talk about an awful game to watch. That might be the game that I end up skipping tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely skipping. I'm going to say it's going to end up in a tie. No, I'm kidding.
I predict Jamal Crawford's going to go for 43 points.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, no, New Orleans is going to win this game. I think they'll win like 107 to 93.
Josh?
Brooklyn by 3.
Brooklyn by 3. Sure, why not? Let's just get that over with here.
It's scrimmages, man. Like, all these bad teams are going to win the scrimmages.
I'm going to go 80 to 75 for New Orleans. How about that? 75. All right, last game. Sacramento at Miami. The Miami COVID heat.
Yeah, I'm going to say Miami is going to win 94 to 82.
Still living in the 90s, huh?
Yeah, well, the games are shorter.
That's true. I forgot about the 40-minute games.
Yeah.
So in that case, Washington might only give up 115 points. So the one thing I want to say is I feel really sorry for Marvin Bagley. I mean, the guy just keeps getting injured. So brutal.
How long is he out for?
I mean, based on the fact that he was in crutches and he had a walking boot on, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think this is his moment to actually spend 6 to 8 months, focus on everything on recovery. Like, don't even take a breath that's not about recovery. Like, no more fake rap battles, no more talking all this shit. Just like focus on basketball because you're ruining someone's fantasy team.
Someone's
get
or yours.
A proper trainer too. I don't know who's training that guy, but he's had way too many injuries.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, give me a quick score so I can document this. I just want to see how we do.
Miami by 20.
Miami by 20. Sure, why not? I'm going to go 90 to, I don't know, 76. Why not? All right, guys. Good talk. I think this is it. Anybody got any last points? No? Free Woj? No? Nothing? Okay. Sure. No?
Unless you're coming back, by the way.
Man, fuck Woj. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
What the hell do I feel like Woj would be able to, like, find out who's on what roster by now. I bet you when he comes out of his quarantine bubble or whatever, suspension bubble, he's going to like come out with every single roster who had like COVID like right away. That's going to be the biggest nuclear Woj bomb we've seen.
Yeah, we'll all be waiting for that first Woj tweet when he comes back.
We're going to find out that LeBron is not even in the bubble right now.
It's a fake. It's actually a lookalike LeBron.
Yep.
All right, then. All right, that's all the time we've got for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.